welcome to pod 55 of the official Palace pod. I'm Chris Grierson from Palace TV, which you can watch on eagles.cpfc.co.uk, YouTube, on the official Palace app, which you can download from the Google Play Store or the App Store. You can also watch all of our videos on social media, which I'm sure you follow already. Hope you've been enjoying the podcast so far. This one is Darren Ambrose, who played for the club for 3 years, most famous for that goal against Man United in the Carling Cup. So we talk about that quite a lot, but we covered his whole time at the club, really. Obviously, he was one of those Hillsborough heroes as well. I saw him say on social media that that goal against Sheffield Wednesday was his favourite goal of his time at Palace, for what it meant. I hope you've been enjoying those videos as well, the red and blue rewinds. We've already had his game against Man United. We've had Hillsborough. We've got Stockport coming up from 2001. We've got a whole weekend of the playoff matches. And then we've got the 1990 FA Cup final as well. So I'm sure we'll have more interviews with other people coming up on these podcasts. But for now, I will hand over to myself talking over Zoom to Darren Ambrose. Darren, thanks for joining. First of all, lovely little cap you've got on there.
Yeah. Excuse the lockdown here. Thought I'd put my hat on instead and show what you can buy in the club shop when it's eventually open. Lovely fit.
Yeah, very nice. Were that the New Era ones?
That is, yeah. I got it last time I was at the club, actually, so I've been getting my use out of it with this hair like it is. Yours is looking well, though.
Yeah, luscious growth. We've used the dog clippers around the side.
I might try that actually.
But talking about lockdown hair, let's talk about the risk of sounding pervy, lockdown body. What's going on with, I've seen on your Instagram, you've turned into a bit of a men's health front page model, haven't you?
Yeah, I didn't really want to post that, to be honest, but it's kind of, I'm doing it for the coach, I'm doing it for my online coach. He's a good guy. I don't actually know him personally. I feel like I do. I've worked for him for probably 16 weeks now, I think. So it was prior to the lockdown I started. I've kind of more done it for my missus, just after Christmas, but we felt that let's try something different. As a footballer, you know, I'm kind of always told what to do. I'm always told when to eat, what to eat. People are now, you know, and sports science is so good. When I stopped, obviously, I've got to fend for myself, so I thought, let's give it a go, and it's going really well. So I think we've signed up again. We've got another 12 weeks to go. Kind of easier in lockdown as well, because there's no temptations with restaurants, etc. being open. So it's hard work. Don't get me wrong, I'm starving quite a lot of the time. But, you know, I'm on the bulk phase at the moment, so I'm getting a lot of food in me. And my missus is doing a lot better than I am, so fair play to her as well.
And how are you keeping the kids occupied?
That's harder. You know what? I love being at home with the kids. I do. It's well known I'm a family man, so I do enjoy it. The school works hard. Trying to get them motivated to do their school work is difficult. You know, I'm not a teacher, I'm not a missus. So to try and keep their mind focused on that is difficult when obviously you've got computers, social media around where they just want to get on and play Fortnite and FIFA and stuff like that. So, but, you know, we do our long walks during the day. We go out for an hour, and it's, although we're stopping that now, my youngest daughter broke her finger and my eldest daughter broke her toe recently. So that's been a bit of a pain. So if they come in threes, we've bubble wrapped my sons up. So hopefully they don't get hurt.
Now, I'm looking behind you. On the news, everyone always does the interviews in front of a bookshelf. Yours is in front of a bookshelf, but you've got no books on that. What have we got?
Yeah, this is, I'm actually in my study, to be honest. I don't often use it. You know, I own a couple of barbershops, but I don't really need a study. My kids are using this for their homework, so I'm actually getting told to get out as soon as possible, really, so they can enjoy. But yeah, this is my missus. My missus sets it up. I've got like man of match trophies, through the goal of the seasons, champagnes. I've got actually the Manchester United match ball right there.
Oh, really?
I shouldn't have taken, but you know, I did score a hat trick. But that is the actual one that I scored that goal with. So, like I said, I mean, if it was up to me, they'd all be away in storage. But my missus said you should be proud of what you've achieved and get it out. And, you know, she tends to clean them and give them a dust down every now and then. So, yeah, there's not a lot.
Kind of, I'm noticing there's no Goal of the Decade trophy there, is there?
No. I literally watched that video the other day when you come to Colchester. And, you know, it did tickle me, actually, because, you know, I've got 3 Goal of the Seasons, I think, from Palace, and 0 Goal of the Decade, which I'm still waiting on. I'm sure I'll get something.
Well, it was a bit of a stupid. We did Goal of the Decade, but it was only 2015. It was like 10 years since the centenary or something like that. So we were desperate for content. But now it's 2020. I guess it was the goal of last decade. So I'll give you an empty promise and say I'll look into it.
I'll hold you to that.
Right, so everyone has just watched the full game of the Man United game. But before we get to that, I just wanted to just build a bit of background of how it got there. So your career before coming to Palace started off at Ipswich Town. How would you, like, if you would tell your career briefly before you came to Palace, what were the ups and downs?
Obviously, the up was Ipswich. I broke through at 17. George Burley gave my debut at Highbury against Arsenal, which was fantastic. Some of the names I was playing against at that time. In fact, that game, Ipswich, we lost 2-0. They won the league that game, Arsenal. So it was a strange time. Not only they won the league, we got relegated on the same day. So it was hard going into the dressing room because the lads were devastated, all the senior pros, obviously just been relegated from the Premier League. But I was secretly buzzing that, you know, I'm 17, I've just made my debut. I'm thinking to myself, we're starting in the Championship next season. I've got a chance of breaking in fully. So there was mixed emotions. Like I said, I remember coming on, Patrick Vieira, Tony Adams was playing, Keown, David Seaman. I had a chance actually in front of David Seaman, and I felt I've got a lot more work to do to become a footballer, because I tried to bend it round him and he literally caught it with one arm. But, you know, I was buzzing to make my debut. And yeah, from there, I think I played 30 or 38 times for Ipswich that season. We went into administration and I was sold to Newcastle. I'd say around March time, because the rules had changed. It wasn't January transfer window, but Ipswich were allowed to sell assets. They chose to sell me to Newcastle. Difficult decision, I think, to go up there at such a young age. I kind of said no to start with, but then Sir Bobby Robson, probably the greatest manager I've played under. He came in. I think he sat there for 4 hours with me and my mum and dad and my agent. And by the time he left that room, I'd put pen to paper. I remember he said to me once, he said, "Well, there's a chance that we'll loan you back. You know, it's March. We'll loan you back to Ipswich." And that kind of got me over the line. And I said, "Yeah, let's do it." You know, I was looking forward to it. He told me his plans, and I signed the contract. Went into his office and basically said, "Like, what's the plan? Shall I go back to Ipswich?" And he said, "No, son." He said, "You're staying here. You're on the bench at the weekend." So that was my debut. He put me on the bench at West Brom, and I come on. So I had a great time at Newcastle. Fantastic time. Hindsight, again, I've got a couple of regrets in my career, and that was probably one, leaving Newcastle at that time. Graham Souness was the manager. Didn't really. I played a few games, but not as many as I wanted. And I went to Cholton on, they were established Premier League time. It was kind of easy for me to make that decision at the time. I did 10 years they were in the Premier League. So Alan Kerbishley come and got me from Newcastle. And first 2 seasons there, brilliant. Premier League, after the first season, Kerbishley left. If I'm going on, tell me to slow down.
No, carry on.
First season, at the end of the season, no one expected it. It was playing Man United at home, at the Valley, and Alan Kerbishley walked in and said, "Right, this is my last game." So everyone was thinking, "No way." And then we had to do a parade, and he addressed the crowd before the game. So in my head, I'm thinking, like, damn, like, I haven't made the right call now if he's leaving. But again, stayed in the Prem. Alan Pardew came in, another good manager for me. He liked me, played me, but we ended up getting relegated that season. And after that, it was kind of downhill for me at Cheltenham, I'd say. Although I felt I had a decent season in the Championship, I think I scored 11 goals, which was probably my best return at that point in my career. The following year, it was just stop and start. I wasn't getting much game time. The club was in financial difficulties. The fans, Cheltenham fans, were on my back. Warranted? Probably not. You know, I don't know the reasons. Maybe I was one of the ones from the Premier League, and you know, there's a lot of blame put on players. There's a few of us that was getting a bit of grief. So I didn't know where my career was going to go, to be honest. At the end of that season, I was on a free, and I'd say the day after the season was when Neil Warnock spoke to my agent, literally the day after the season finished, and said, come down to Crystal Palace, come and meet us at the training ground in Beckenham. I did, and you know, he sold it straight away. My wife was more dubious for me to go in, questioning it. Do I want to end the season at Cheltenham on a negative with the fans and everything involved in it, and already go to the local rivals on a negative? You know, I read social medias and stuff, and I wasn't the most excitable of signings at the time, especially coming from the local rivals. You know, I know how it was, but I was confident that a lot under Neil Warnock's guidance, I could change the opinions of everyone. He told me exactly what he wanted from me. And you know, I scored two on my debut against Torquay, which helped. You know, that kind of changed immediately. And my confidence was up from day one. So when a player's got confidence, you see nowadays when a player's firing on all cylinders, then there's no holding back. So that was my career up to Crystal Palace. And again, as I said, like, you don't. I have a couple of regrets. My biggest regret, I heard Danny Murphy talking the other day, match of the day, saying everyone says that I have no regrets. I do as well. You know, I regret leaving Crystal Palace. That was probably the decline, start of the decline of my career, and probably ended it sooner than it should have. So I should have stayed.
Well, it's weird when you look at it. It's only 2009 to 2012. Looking back, it feels like it was 5 or 6 years. And it also, because we remember you as playing your best stuff under Warnock. So in my head, oh, you played 2 or 3 seasons under him. But it wasn't even a full season under Neil, was it?
No, it was just the one, not even the full one, to be honest, because he'd left prior to the season completing. But I literally felt like I'd played with him for so long. You know, we, as manager player, we hit it off immediately. Get a bit of grief that, you know, I was the son of the manager, etc. And, you know, I think Alan Lee said something the other day in an interview that I read with The Athletic, that there was once it was raining, he comes out of his bolly and he only covered me with a bolly, which, you know, these kind of things happen daily for me. And, you know, I loved it because, as a player, you build the confidence in you, like you said, and you can go onto the pitch and feel like you can do anything. And I'm guessing as a manager, to get a player on a free that wasn't, like I said before, the most excitable of players in people's opinions, to then change the way people feel about him, which was myself, that must be a good feeling for a manager as well. But do I wish I'd have played longer on him? Yeah, I think so. But you know, he made the decision to go to leave to QPR, and you know, with the way the club was at the moment, I think it was only Palace's best interest at heart, really. Which it was just frustrating for the players because you know we could have gone places that season.
Do you think he always has a player like that, a creative player that he treats differently? Because he did the same with Adel Taarabt, didn't he? When he went to QPR, it was all about telling the senior players, look, just let him do what he wants to do. Just get the ball to him. Do you feel like that's kind of Neil's style? Like that's what his expertise was, the man management, treating different players differently?
Mm, yeah, absolutely. As man manager, he's second to none for me. You know, he was... I understand people that didn't like playing for him because, he was an aggressive manager, but that's needed, especially you look at the team we had at that time. The team full of warriors, full of legends. I always say this about that team. Real characters. To have him at the helm was needed. And yeah, like you talk at Delta Raptors, it was similar. You know, I remember the first game I played in the league. I can't remember what it was against now. It was my debut, I can't remember. So I tracked back all the way. I'd come from Charlton playing under Phil Parkinson and Alan Pardew, and I tracked the fullback all the way to the byline, and the Gaffer Nilbonnet was screaming at me, and I literally ran the whole length of the pitch and got into half time, and he said, he literally pulled me, had a go, and said, "I don't want you tracking back." And I've never had a manager say that. He said, "I want you on the other end of the pitch where I know you can create, you can score goals. That is for the likes of Sean Derry and Johnny Ertl and Neil Danz to cover you and fill in." And you know, that was music to my ears, to be honest. You know, you'll know nowadays, if a wide man's told not to track back, it's unbelievable. So he knew my strengths, he knew what he wanted out of me, and he kind of, I think I delivered for him. So fair play to Neil Warnock for creating that from me, to be honest.
And you scored so many screamers for Palace. Did you score many screamers previously at other clubs?
I scored a few, yeah. I got goal of the season at Newcastle 1 year when I first went there against Bolton. I got goal of the season at Cheltenham. Against Man United, believe it or not, that was my left foot. So I grew up through the academy. I started off centre forward, never really enjoyed it because you don't get much of the ball. So moved back to number 10, number 8, and ended up on the wing under George Burley. So I've always liked to score good goals, and you know, I missed a lot. You know, I talk about the Man United goal. The game prior to that, QPR at home, or Millwall at home, I believe, I tried from similar distance and hit it in the top of the Hunsdale. So, but the old saying, if you don't shoot, you don't score. And I just love to score. And more often than not, they were half decent. So, you know, it's a nice feeling.
We've talked about the Hillsborough game before. Last year on a video, but just specifically about the aftermatch stuff, because we're showing the game on Saturday and we've got the dressing room celebration. So that bring back some memories having a watch of that?
Yeah, it did. Obviously, I watched that today. You sent it over, and no, it's emotional, really. It's 10 years it's coming up to, and you know, it feels like yesterday for me. So to think that's 10 years ago and I've been stopped playing for 5 years, it hits home, to be honest. And to see that and to see the group of players we had, and you know, to Paul Hart as well, who came in, he's an absolute hero in my eyes. Not many managers would have come in and taken in that situation and kept us up in the division, and he's a hero in my eyes. So to look at that, the characters we had, and you know, look at Danny Butterfield was one of the main ones there, and he was creating that atmosphere in the dressing room. Calvin Andrew, one of the funniest men in football. It brings back great, great memories. And I've said many times, I'm gutted that we didn't get to stick together and have another season or two, because, you know, I felt that team was good enough to challenge for promotion or the playoffs at least.
So, yeah, you're one of the few that remained over that summer. But I guess you must have been pretty pleased when George Burley came in.
I was, yeah. I was actually gutted for him in the end because, you know, I don't think his management style and skills were adapted enough for Palace at the time for the players we had. He was he's a footballing man. He liked to play good football. He showed that throughout his career and at Ipswich. And, you know, it's probably the wrong timing to have him at Crystal Palace. But I was pleased when he came in. Another one, he gave my debut. I got on really well with him. Most managers I got on really well, there's a few I didn't, but I got on really well with George, so I was gutted that it ended the way it did for him. And basically to have another Palace legend in punching for the final nail in the coffin, really, with a hat-trick at Millwall. So it was hard. It was hard for us, but, you know, that's in football and there's no looking back.
And then, obviously, Dougie was assistant manager under Paul Hart and George Burley as well. What was he like as a coach?
Dougie's brilliant. I've not got a bad word to say about Dougie, and this is one of my regrets. Like I said, I should have stayed. You know, Dougie made it clear that probably I wasn't not the first name on the team sheet, but I think he wanted to give me a challenge and say, you know, you got to fight for your place, really. He was looking to go and buy players. Eventually, I think he went and bought Yannick Bolasie out of the money they got for me. But I loved training. It was an unbelievable coach. And a lot of the finishing sessions come from Dougie. You know, I got asked this the other day in an interview about the Chef Wednesday goal. And, he'd do finishing sessions, he'd put you 3 yards out from the goal. And, I mean, people think, well, what's the point of that? And it was just repetitive, hitting the net, getting the feeling of the ball hitting the net and getting that the connection. And, you know, he wasn't just tap it in the net. If you did it wrong, it'd make you aware that you've done it wrong. So when the ball come back at Chef Wednesday, obviously it was natural for me to connect like that because Dougie was so thorough with it. And again, probably he would say it as well, admit it, probably wrong ending for him leaving to Bolton, especially when Palace got promoted. So Dougie was brilliant. They all were in that time. Like I said, to come in that situation with the club, I mean, they didn't have to do much because the players, the characters we had in the team, the leaders we had, spoke for themselves. So, but credit to them. And, you know, like I said, I love Dougie.
And then going into the Man United game, when the team at that point was very much in, like, it was a building process. We weren't really near the playoffs. We weren't that near relegation. So do you, when you're playing in a team like that, that's kind of floating around the middle, do the cups kind of mean a bit more? And is that where you get your excitement from?
Yeah, it definitely did that year. Particularly that game, you're away at Old Trafford. It's, you know, it's for a championship team, there's not many times you get to do that. So yeah, I think we was on a terrible run at the time. I don't think we'd scored in 10 games or something like that. So yeah, I was more gutted. I weren't starting the game, to be honest. And you know, that was the disappointment for me. But yeah, you need cup runs. I think for clubs like we were back then in the Championship, all right, the league is important. But like you said, we were floating around the middle. We weren't going to get relegated. We weren't going to challenge for playoffs. So to have the cup run was something exciting and something to look forward to.
The lineup for that game, it's a pretty bold move for him to rest players because he had quite a few senior players on the bench.
He did. If I remember rightly, Murray Muzzle was on the bench, wasn't he?
Yeah. Yeah. Spironi, Spironi, Ramage, Parr, Ambrose, Jedinak, Everson and Murray.
Yeah. To be honest, it was the opportunity for Dougie to show the club that we've got some good young players coming through. I mean, we all know that's the game that Wilf showed the world that what he was like. Stewie O'Keefe, he was playing in the midfield. Lewis Price played in goal, had an unbelievable game that day. Obviously, Kleine played, Scans. We had a lot of young players playing. And like I said, personally, I was gutted that I weren't playing. And, you know, Dougie pulled me the day before and told me and just said, look, we're going up there to shut up shop, really, and try and hit on the counter with the young, pacey, wide men that we had. And yeah, it was a bold move, but you know, most of them, if not all of them, stood up and was counted that night, and you know, that will long live in all of their memories, I believe.
And then also a bold move for him, bringing on two subs just after half time in a game like that. So Scannell came off, and Dean Moxie, who was injured, and then you and Johnny Parr. What kind of a game? Can you remember what kind of a game was it to come into at half time?
I was just looking to make an impact, you know. It was still 0-0. We wasn't doing too bad, you know. We was holding our own against a team full of internationals. You know, they talk about our team. They put out a lot stronger than we thought they would. There was a few youngsters, but I mean, even the youngsters. One of the youngsters was Paul Pogba, you know. So they had some fantastic players. So yeah, from being frustrated and disappointed to not playing from the day before, I just wanted to make an impact and show more so because I played in the Premier League. You know, I wanted to show and believe that I was still good enough to play in the Premier League. So you can only do that against Premier League players and opposition. So it wasn't too difficult. I just thought, and from the minute one, I just felt if I get a chance or an opportunity, just hit it and hit the target. And, you know, it happened to fall into place for me.
And when you hit a ball like that, because I don't understand because I'm rubbish at football, but do you see where the keeper is and know exactly where you're going to put it in the goal, and then you know exactly what part of your foot to strike the ball, or is it all just pure instinct and you're just hitting it towards the goal?
It's half and half, really. I mean, knowing where the goal is instinct as well. I picked it up a couple of minutes prior to that. I was a bit further out, so I normally don't care and I normally shoot, but I was a bit further out and I didn't shoot, but I was aware Ben Amos was around 10 to 12 yards out. So, you know, I thought, well, if I get a bit closer and a chance, I practiced a lot in training and I practiced the shoot and try to make it dip. Very rarely works. There's a story that, you know, I was out the day before with Jermaine Easter, actually, because I was a bit angry not playing. I was pinging them from all over trying to get that dip and it weren't working at all. I was ballooning them everywhere over the training ground. But so I felt, well, if I get it again, I didn't even have to look up. Although I didn't know, I gambled that he would be similar position, 8, 10 yards out, maybe a bit less, and tried that dip and shot. So I think I had 2, 3 touches at most and just tried to get that technique of the ball. And as I hit it, I looked up. He was exactly where I was hoping he would be. And I felt immediately that I've connected perfectly with that. And thankfully, it dipped just at the right time and went over him. So probably bad positioning from the goalie, if I'm going to be cynical in that matter. But it was half and half. It was instinct, but it was hit and hope as well.
And then you got the assist as well in extra time. Glenn Murray. Now, I was listening to we can't put out the in-studio stuff because we didn't actually get the video of it. But I was listening to it. Although it was Gary Neville and Dwight York in the studio, so absolutely no Palace representation. Okay. And all they were talking about was how it was offside. But offside, yeah. But we deserved it, is what they basically said.
Yeah, so it's clever centre-forward play, in my opinion. Was he offside? Perhaps. VAR may have given that now. But Glenn was brilliant at that. That nudge on the defender, that's not a fluke. That is built into him, and he was really good at it. And I you know, as a free kick taker, you know, you just have to put it in the right area. If you've got someone like that with the movement and the clever instincts he's got in the box, you know, I think he'd come off his shoulder in the end, but it didn't matter. It was just unbelievable to see it go in because we was under the cosh, you know. They wanted that win, make no bones about it. Alex Ferguson was desperate for them to beat it because, you know, it's an embarrassment in their eyes that I think they were the champions at the time as well, the Premier League. So to lose against the Championship side and scored for so many weeks. And once we got the goal, I just put it in the right area. You know, Glenn done the rest. And I think if Glenn hadn't, I think Anthony Gardner may have put it in behind him. So we did deserve, for the way we played and defended, particularly the extra time, I think we did deserve that. So they were right in the studio to say that. And was it offside? I don't know.
Yeah, but Gary Neville still said it was the best goal by a visiting team at Old Trafford. So he made up for it.
Yeah, my missus and my mum, actually, they were watching it here because I had a newborn. Like, they couldn't get up there, so they showed me when I got home. They'd recorded, obviously, the game, and they said that Gary Neville said this, and then when it flicked back to him, he changed to the away side. So whether someone was in his ear and said, you know, about Rooney's volley or whatever. So it's lovely to hear, and, you know, that goal, as a footballer, you're remembered at the end of your career by trophies, by what you've won. You know, I didn't win much. I've won a few personal awards, but never a team award. So to have something that I'm remembered by after my career, which is that goal, everyone talks about it, not just Palace fans, wherever you go, it is special for me because it brings back really good memories.
I guess it's nice to be remembered for Well, not just the goal, because obviously the first two games we're showing of these reruns is this one and then the one at Hillsborough, which is just a 2-2 draw against Sheffield Wednesday. But you're remembered because of the characters you all were. It must be. Is that nice as well?
Yeah, that's brilliant. Like I said, that team there was the best group of lads I played for. There was such a togetherness, such a unity. And it showed on the pitch. May not have been the most technically gifted players in the league, but I honestly felt if we wasn't put in administration, Victor Moses would have stayed, etc. We had a chance. You know, I think it was in seventh place when we went up to Newcastle, landed in 20th, 21st. So we would have had an opportunity that year. And I felt if we'd have made playoffs, we would have won. We just had that team spirit. We'd have been promoted. So it was heartbreaking, heart-wrenching for me in particular. So I made that choice to go to Palace because I'd done my research. I looked up and I felt that we had a chance, you know, and this could be an opportunity to get back to the Premier League, which is such difficulty to do. So to remember for that game as well, it is just such good memories. And like I said, it's why I shouldn't have left, really. So I'll obviously live with that.
Yeah, I'm actually talking to someone who did leave after Sheffield Wednesday, Clint Hill, talking to him tomorrow. Is there anything I should talk to him about other than nearly getting beaten up after the game?
I'll tell you what, he definitely nearly didn't get beat up. We was all concerned, actually, for the 20,000 Sheffield Wednesday fans when he was snotting in the changing room. Clint is, again, one of those leaders. I don't see many characters like that in teams nowadays. Sean Derry, Paddy McCarthy, Danny Butterfield, Alan Lee. I can name them all. But there was that core group that led us. And I felt, like I said, I felt if we was in a war, we would win the war, you know, with them guys by your side. And to watch back the video when, I don't know, he's trying to stick his nut in on one, he's windmilling others, people are trying to hit him. But if he was in the dressing room, you would never know, because he comes walking through the door and joins celebrations immediately. You know, I'd be riled up. Oh, I can't believe what happened just there. He come walking in and just started dancing, and it was brilliant to see. So, yeah, I do miss them times. I really do. That's what I look back on my career on and think, you know, I miss being in them group of players.
But the one thing you are doing now, you're there almost every game at Selhurst Park, working the lounges. How much are you enjoying that?
I really am enjoying it, actually. I started off a bit dubious, and my match day partner that I go around with, Jane, obviously everyone knows Jane at the club, she tried for years to get me to come, and it was more so that I was still in an RA. I hadn't retired, you know, I hadn't officially retired, and if there was an opportunity, I was going to come out and play. So I was lying to myself, really, thinking that I'm going to wait for a club. So I just made the choice to do it. And you know, I'm really, really enjoying it. You know, I get to give back and meet people that were so good to me. Like, we started on, I come from Cheltenham, you know, I wouldn't have been the most liked player when I first arrived. But to change everyone's opinions and now work as like a host in the lounges is fantastic for me. And it's a long way to come. You know, it takes me 2.5-3 hours to get there and same to get home, but it's all worth it just to be in and around this football club.
Yeah, look, Darren, just want to thank you for taking time out of your fitness schedule.
and it's talking. A relief, actually. it takes my mind off eating. So, you know, I'm going to go and have some food now. And I don't know. I never wanted to be one of these players to let myself get too out of shape, and I felt it was coming. So I had to change something. Most of the messages I'm getting off players are like, are you making a comeback or something? I might look better than that, but I'm nowhere near as fit as I used to be. So this is why it is.
Okay, brilliant. Well, yeah, at least you fought off that thing, because the players get about 3 or 4 years after retiring, they've started drinking a bit more red wine and their face just starts to inflate a little bit more.
It was getting that way. I'm telling you, it was getting that way. Make a change.
Cool. Look, thanks very much.
Cheers, buddy.